Father, we love you and we thank you. We have prepared our hearts for the word of the Lord today. And we have also prayed ahead for the things that are in front of us today. And the Lord will be glorified. Now, as we fellowship around the word of God, we declare the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We receive that light and that understanding now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, for the past several days, I don't know, maybe 8 or more days, we've been talking about, the role of prophecy, discerning the prophetic. We've been talking about, prophecy, prophets, and all that, and even walking in the prophetic. So I'm going to just do a quick series review today and then open it up for shares. You know, so all the things that, you know, we've been talking about for the last week or so, we're going to do a quick review today and just see, you know, what it is that we have learned. We started with gaining proper understanding of Bible prophecy. That's where we started. And I want to do a quick review of that. See what was the subject and the material presented in that particular lesson. In that lesson, we talked about, Bible prophecy, you know, how to interpret it and how to understand it. Scripture says that it is not given by the will of man, but it came by the will of God. Holy Spirit moved upon holy men of God, and they wrote these things or spoke and then wrote them. 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21. And then the purpose of prophecy, we read in Revelation 1, was to show to his servants the things that were to come. And not exactly to hide it, but to show it. You know, so, you know, the things also that may seem to have been closed up, we have understanding that they will be revealed at the end of time. Daniel was told to close up some things in Daniel 12 and verse 4. He said, until the time of the end. So we know that at the time of the end, it will be revealed. Now, Jesus himself said to his disciples in John 16 and 4, he said, look, I've told you all these things in advance so that when the time comes, you will remember that I told you before. And then also we read that, there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed and nothing covered that shall not be known. Matthew 10:26. I'm going through these very quickly because a lot to review in just a few minutes. The Bible says that the secret things belong unto the Lord, Deuteronomy 29:29, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. And moreover, we are told in Proverbs 25 and 2 that even the things that God delights to hide, it is our responsibility as kings to search it out. So that tells us that even when we think that prophecy is difficult to understand, we must research it, try to figure it out. Now, in that case then, how do we understand Bible prophecy? Well, we spoke about looking for the interpretation of the prophecy within itself, first of all. See if there is an interpretation that followed, if there is no interpretation that followed, well, look to see whether we can understand it in the context of what it was being spoken about. And then look for a literal interpretation first, where possible. And just take the prophecy as it says. Unless it's completely written in symbols or spoken in symbols, then we got to try to find the meaning of those symbols. Now, God did say that he will speak in symbols. In the book of Hosea 12 and 10, he said, I will speak to the prophets in symbolism. You know, so when you use symbols and different things like that. But what about, how do we understand symbols? Well, the key thing to understanding symbols when used in the context of Bible prophecy is to know that the within the prophecy, if the symbol is used multiple times, the use of the same symbol must be consistent throughout that prophecy. To this agree many of the prophetic scholars over the years. Now, from one prophecy to another throughout the Bible, the symbol may or may not be the same meaning, but within the prophecy, the singular prophecy, if a symbol is used multiple times, it's got to carry a consistent meaning. Otherwise, you know, people will be confused. Now, we talked about prophecies that may carry dual meanings and dual fulfillment. A prophecy may be spoken and it may mean more than one thing, or we can see more than one thing. We give an example in Hosea 11 and verse 1, where it says, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Well, at that time we saw that, you know, the children of Israel had already been called out of the land of Egypt at the time Hosea was speaking this thing. But yet, it was fulfilled again in Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, he said, you know, the story of Christ being carried as a young baby to Egypt to flee the wrath of Herod. He said, the scripture says, you know, so that it might fulfill this prophecy of out of Egypt I called my son. So that's a dual fulfillment right there. You know, and then we talked about prophecies can be split. In other words, you know, the fulfillment of it may not be all, you know, consecutive and back to back. There may be gaps in sections of the fulfillment. One great example we see is in Daniel, the so-called Daniel 70th week prophecy, Daniel chapter 9 verses 24 to 27. It was split into at least three different sections. You know, prophecy of 70 weeks, which we discover now is a week of years. 1 week, the various weeks in which it was split into 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and then 1 week. And some of them have come to pass. The last 1 week we're still waiting for. We saw a split prophecy also in Isaiah 61. About the role of the Christ and his ministry. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus came to the synagogue after being coming out of the wilderness, being tempted, there we took the scrolls of Isaiah, found the place it was written, and read the prophecy and stopped at one point. You know, he got to the point I say, you know, the acceptable year of the Lord, he stopped there. And he did not go on to read the day of vengeance of our God. And he just said, well, this is the fulfillment of this scripture. So we see that I was split. And, you know, split in the sense that as of the time that Jesus was pronouncing that thing, you know, it was still the day of visitation. It was still the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of judgment had not come. You know, the same concept is born out in the prophecy of, Isaiah elsewhere, where he would talk about, you know, the day of vengeance in his mind and, year of my redeemed had come. I believe we referenced that also in the book of the Psalms. We read many, many things like that throughout the scriptures where something may be split. You know, some part of it is now. Even Jesus said that in Revelation 1:11, when he was giving a message to John to give to the churches. He split the thing into three. He said, what? Write the things which thou hast seen, that's one. The things which are, that's another. And the things which are yet to be, that's yet another. And prophecies can be, can be split like that. You know, what's happening now, what's yet to happen, you know, and so on and so forth. So we understand split prophecies in that context. Praise the Lord. Now, The another thing for us to understand is that prophecy may be interpretation of a timeline of prophecy. If the prophecy speaks about the future, we have to understand that the timeline may be time triggered or time based or event triggered or a combination. You know, sometimes the prophecy might just give a specific timeline. The prophet might say something like, you know, by this time of next year or according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a child. Well, that's a prophecy that has a timeline to it. The time of life is what? We expect a woman to have a child around 9 months. So from now, from the next 9 months, she'll expect that woman to hold a child. That's a time-based prophecy. Well, another prophecy may say, like in Daniel's 70th week prophecy, may say something like, well, from the time, you know, of the going forth of the commandment to build and restore Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. So it doesn't say when that commandment will happen, but it says when you see it happen, then you start counting 62 weeks from there. I mean, 7 weeks and then another 62 and so on. So it might be a combination. First, an event, something that happens. And then from that time, you count. Okay. Jesus also spoke about that. Even when he was referring to the same Daniel 70th week, which Daniel said in the midst of the week, well, it will cause the, you know, the sacrifice and so forth to cease. Well, Jesus referred to that also and said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation in the holy place spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's when. Doesn't give a date to it, but when you see that event, then you know that the real great tribulation has started, Jesus said. So then, you know, we also talked about prophecy that is for the now. And it's not just for future, for us to be calculating dates and all that stuff. You know, most prophecy is actually for the now. You know, and we gave the example in the life of Jehoshaphat facing those three armies that came against him, Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, and the young prophet that spoke in the name of the Lord to give them prophetic encouragement. You know, it was for something they were facing in the moment. It wasn't 10 years to come or hundreds of years to come or whatever. It was something that they were dealing with in the moment. And the word of the Lord came in the moment to give them encouragement and, you know, a little bit of instruction as well, but mostly encouragement that the Lord would fight for them. And so prophecy can also be for those reasons. Even Paul wrote about that. You know, he said, you know, he that prophesieth, prophesy unto men for comfort, for education and exhortation. 1 Corinthians 14:3. So it's not always as a futuristic thing. It could be for the moment as well. God speaks to us. Generally, when God speaks through the voice of a man to us, we call it prophecy. It may be whatever God wants to speak about. Maybe future, it may be for instruction for now, maybe strategy, it may be comfort, maybe rebuke, it may be whatever. You know, so all those things form prophecy together. We spoke about the distinction between predictions and prophecy when it comes to timelines. You know, prediction is a guess based on, you know, stuff that we know, then we try to make a guess for what we don't know. That's a prediction. Prophecy, on the other hand, is God foretelling. There's no guesswork there. When God speaks or reveals the future, it is accurate. It cannot be, you know, this or that, because he's God. He already knows. He already sees it. He can say it exactly as it is going to be. And so, you know, we also called out, you know, the impact of predictions versus prophecy. If we spend a lot of our time in prophetic predictions, it might give an uncertain sound. Because God doesn't really give predictions. Men do that. And it's okay if somebody does that, as long as they say they are doing that, call it out as such. You know, but when it is God speaking, He is speaking without making guesses. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Jeremiah 23, verses 28 to 29, warns us about not giving uncertain words when we speak for the Lord. You know, if you have a dream, say the dream. If you have a vision, say the vision. If you have my word, say my word faithfully. Don't mix that up with prediction. That doesn't help us, because prediction is like chaff among the wheat. Say, what is chaff among the wheat, saith the Lord? Get that chaff out of there. Let's hear the pure word of the Lord. Praise God. But prediction can also be useful. We see it even in science. Weather patterns can be predicted. Meteorologists can come in and say, well, there's a 25% chance of rain today. Yeah, it doesn't make them any false prophet if the thing doesn't come to pass. It's just a prediction. How do they predict that? Well, you know, in the past, conditions such as the ones that exist today, 100 times those conditions existed exactly the way they are today, it precipitated 25 times, you know. So now they make a prediction. When we see the same set of conditions, such as we saw the last 100 samples we took, and it rained 25 times out of those 100 times, then we conclude or predict that we have a 25% chance of rain. Well, and 5% chance of rain. It may not rain at all, because that's even less than 50%. You know, so, but, you know, that's what, you know, predictions are, not to be confused with prophecy. Then we went on to speak about discerning the prophetic. When someone speaks in the name of the Lord, we are told in Deuteronomy 18, if that thing doesn't come to pass, don't be afraid of that person. It's not the word the Lord has spoken. It's something they spoke presumptuously. On the other hand, in Deuteronomy 13, we're told that if what they spoke actually did come to pass, which you might say, well, the Lord said if it comes to pass, then I spoke it. If he didn't, I didn't speak it. Well, now it comes to pass. But then their ways are leading you away from God. The rest of their words lead you away from God, lead you into things that are not wholesome, according to, you know, the doctrine of Christ. Then he says, well, you know, get away from them too, because the Lord may be testing you. And we found out that according to Isaiah 8:20, the real way to discern the prophetic is to check it against the word of God, to the law and the testimony. You know, if anyone speaks and it's not according to this word, then there's no light in it. So get away from it. And, you know, so we get some insight there as to how to discern the prophetic. We give some examples of discerning the prophetic also, not necessarily by numbers of people that say the same thing. As we looked at some stories where a whole bunch of prophets were saying one thing, and one person was saying another thing, and it turned out that the singular person was right and all the hundreds were wrong. So we looked at those stories in 1 Kings 22, for instance, the story of Micaiah against the prophets of Baal, that when Jehoshaphat said, well, give us another prophet to tell us something different. Well, 400 or so of them had said one thing, they were all wrong. But there was a lying spirit on them, and only one person was right. So numbers don't always, you know, determine the correctness of the prophecy we see. You got to be discerning. How else do we discern, you know, when the prophecy is coming to us from somebody else? We talked about always using the word of the Lord, not just our own barometer to check things out, or our feeling. We even spoke about not trying to follow your heart, because the heart is wicked. And, you know, desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17 and 9. Deceitful. Don't say, I'll follow my heart. It doesn't resonate with me. Well, check it out against the word of God. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, tells us, first of all, receive the prophecy. Don't despise it. Because he said, well, we should not despise prophesying. You know, but we must check things out. So, quench not the spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And in verse 20, despise not prophesying, but prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abhor that which is evil. So, we're not to quench the spirit, and not to say, no, we don't want to hear prophecy. No, we hear it, we receive it, we check it out. If it's good, we hold on to it. If it's not, we discard it and move on. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. And then what about for your own personal, you know, life? Prophecy is coming to you from somebody else that relates to your life. How should you treat that? Well, we spoke about, you know, the difference between how God spoke to people in the Old Testament versus how he speaks to us now. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners has in times past spoken unto us by the prophets, as in this last day he has spoken to us by his Son, who has appointed to be heir of all things. Well, that Son also gave us the Holy Spirit. So, whereas, you know, people were used in the past to go into a seer and a prophet to hear the word of the Lord, today we have the Lord himself with us. And also, in 1 John 2 and 27, or thereabouts, we're told that the anointing that we receive from God, let it abide in us, and the same anointing will teach you all things, and you don't need anybody to tell you anything. The Lord will tell you himself, of which Jesus himself spoke about the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth. We show you things to come. We reveal my word to you. I mean, Jesus said that repeatedly in John 14, 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, 13. So we covered all those things, you know, that to make us know that, look, today that we can hear the word of the Lord ourselves. We don't need to be looking to from somebody to tell us. That led us into walking in the prophetic. Doesn't make you a prophet. Doesn't even mean you have the gift of prophecy. But it means you hear the voice of the Lord. That's the prophetic. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. John 10, 27 and John 10, 5. They will not follow a stranger. They will only listen to me. You know, because they don't know the voice of strangers. Anytime we're hearing the voice of the Lord, that's prophetic. And Jesus promised it that all his sheep will hear his voice. And so we can walk in the prophetic. But we must be able to discern the voice of the Lord among all the noise. There are all kinds of voices, Paul said. 1 Corinthians 14, there's all kinds of voices. You know, but you have to be able to sift it out and know which one is the voice of the Lord. That leads us to training. You can be trained to recognize the voice of the Lord. Little Samuel was trained by the help from the older prophet and priest Eli, that taught him to listen when the Lord is calling and not run off to somewhere. Yeah. The young man didn't know the voice of the Lord. He didn't even know the Lord. But Eli helped him. And he was trained like that. And then he, from that point on, he started to know the voice of the Lord. And afterwards, he didn't run to anybody again. And when the Lord spoke to him, the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel. Now he had figured it out. Similarly, in the case of Gideon, at first, he had to test that word. The Bible says, 1 John 4 and 1, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see that they are of God. So Gideon wasn't quite sure that all this stuff that the angel was saying, a mighty man of valor, you will deliver us, your people from the hand of the Midianites and so on. Who are you talking about? If this is really what God is saying to me, well, let it be like this and let it be like that. Yeah, he tested it out, and the Lord was patient with him. And once he figured out that's the voice of the Lord even helped him, you know, helped him to overhear somebody's dream and another person interpreting it to give him encouragement and say, look, this is what God has been telling you. Now somebody else is saying it. You know, so that shows us also that, you know, God will speak to you first, but if you are not listening or not understanding, he may speak to you through somebody else as well, but he already spoke to you. And I said that, look, major things in your life that relate to direction and God's purpose for your life and guidance and so on, and his call upon your life, you shouldn't be hearing it for the first time from somebody else. Maybe in the Old Testament they did. We're in the New Testament now. We have the Holy Spirit now. In fact, we have a more sure word of prophecy now with us. We have the anointing, which is no lie, that abides with us. It teaches us all things. Don't need anybody to tell it to you. If God is calling you, you don't need to be hearing that from somebody else. You should have heard it from yourself. He may confirm it through somebody else, but you should have heard it yourself. And if we are not hearing from God ourselves, then we need to take time out. It's like, time out. Let's stop everything. Let's figure out this thing. Why am I not hearing from God? Why is it that, you know, it has to take somebody else to come speak to me what the Lord was trying to tell me? Why couldn't I hear it for myself? We need to take that challenge. Yeah? If the only way we're hearing things from God is when somebody else is telling it to us, that's a problem. You know, so we've got to take that challenge. Why am I not hearing it from God? You know, it could be because we are despising the word of God. God won't tell it to you if you despise it. Some people said, we can't hear the word of God. You go hear it and come tell it to us. That's what the children of Israel said when God invited them to come, be my priests, my, you know, peculiar people near to me. I can speak directly to you. They said no. And so they lost their chance of hearing directly from God. And Moses had to tell it to them. We don't want to be like that. You know, receive gladly the word of the Lord, you know, and let God tell it to you and rejoice in his word. Desire it, you know. Desire to hear his word, desire it all the time, and he will give it to you. He that hath shall be given more. Well, if you rejoice at his word and you tremble at it, God will be delighting in giving it to you. Isaiah 66 and verse 2 tells us that. The man to whom I will delight and look, in whom I will delight and look to, will be the man as trembling at my word. Well, that means you receive it, you love it, you take it as it is indeed the word of God. So we spoke about so many of those things. And there's also something I alluded to briefly. Prophetic foresight versus prophetic hindsight. Historic hindsight. Sometimes some prophecies are given which really can't figure out. Daniel, he couldn't figure out some things, you know. One time the angel spoke to him for 1 hour. He was astonished. He just sat down. He was confused. I don't know what these things mean, you know. And the angel tried to explain to him, but some of them were not clear still, you know. But now, help with historic hindsight, we can now look back. We can see and align things together and say, oh, because of historic hindsight, looking back now, we can now understand that Daniel's prophetic 70 weeks were actually 70 weeks of years. It wasn't days, you know, because when we now look at the announcement to go forth and to rebuild and restore Jerusalem in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, and we see the things that happened and look back in history and correlate them, so, well, this had to have been years. It could not have been days. Because it lined up when you correlated with as years. It doesn't line up when you correlated as days. So, historic hindsight now gives us, you know, a clue where prophetic foresight couldn't tell us when we didn't understand it. So that's a combination also of, how to figure things out at times, you know. Now, the word of the Lord that said to us, watch and pray. What does that mean? Well, it means, watch means be on the lookout. So, watch and pray. We can't just pray. We got to also watch. So that's why we must understand prophecy, because that's part of the watching. I will stand upon my watch and see what the Lord is saying. Habakkuk 2. Well, what is the Lord saying when you stand upon his watch or your watch? Well, he said a lot of things in the Bible already. One time in Matthew 24, we see that disciples came and asked Jesus, you know, because they first they showed him, see all this beautiful temple and everything, as if Jesus hadn't seen it before. And Jesus said, well, I tell you what, all these things you see, days are coming when they will all be thrown down. There shall be not one stone, you know, left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And say, wow. Well, tell us what, you know, when this thing shall be. What shall be the sign of that coming out of the end of the world? I mean, they, you know, piled on three different questions there. And Jesus began to answer them. You know, so, but in during his answers, you know, there are times when he said, well, be on the lookout for this and that. You know, so you got to be watchful in the spirit. And I, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Jesus said, watch and pray. So that was the, that's the wrap up of, you know, understanding the prophetic and the Bible prophecy and all of these things. And then we went on to, you know, we covered discernment as well. We went on to walking in the prophetic. The last couple of days, walking in the prophetic, which is we ourselves, you know, in a relationship with God. We're speaking, we're hearing, and we're following, and we're doing. And he's leading us like that. The sheep hear my voice, you know, and I lead them, and they follow me. Praise the Lord. Now, yesterday we talked about blockers, things that can actually block our ability to walk in the spirit. We are, you know, we related walking in the spirit to flowing in the spirit. In other words, you know, we go from level to level, from glory to glory, as it is written. And we get deeper and deeper in the things of God. We use the story in Ezekiel 47, where the man was getting deeper and deeper as the angel took him along in the water. And we saw the impact of what happened after that, you know. It was a revival. Things were happening. Healings were going on. Multitude of fish were coming. And so on and so forth. And so the more we spend time in intimacy with God, the deeper the things of God that will be revealed unto us. We talked about that. Now we talked about the things that can block, you know, this flow of the Holy Spirit. Just like the water that's flowing through the plumbing in our house can be, you know, clogged up by calcium deposits and other debris, and things may not flow out as they should. In the same way, a garden hose may be cluttered up, I mean, may not be kinked up, rather, and the water may not flow. Yes, but there are kinks in the garden hose. And when you unkink the thing, I mean, straighten it out, then the water will flow. So that's kind of like the flowing of the spirit. There's so many things that can make it not to be, not the spirit be flowing and us walking in that flow. Among other things, we talked, you know, yesterday about, you know, the complacency. We think we have arrived. You know, you think you have arrived and all you have is what you had. If you know that there is more, then you press him. You know, so we talked about that. That was a story in Ezekiel 47. He kept pressing in and he kept getting, you know, deeper measures of the anointing, you know, so to speak. And then we talked about disobedience, an unyielded spirit, unconfessed sin, religious tradition even that can block us. And emotional wounds, you know, in areas of unforgiveness, you know, people were wounded and they hold the hurt and it just blocks things. Jesus talked about these things. You know, we talked about fear. the fear factor, very, very dangerous. fear will, you know, completely dismantle, you know, the call of God upon somebody's life if you're not careful. And the mandate that God put upon your life, fear will just destroy it. All the things that we, you know, we saw in the scriptures, the lesson of Peter stepping out on the word. There was a call that says, come. And then he came and he started to come. You know, he started to walk, not just on the water. He was walking on the call that said, come. You know, and, but fear, when he started looking around, instead of stay focused on the one that said, come, the fear of, I can't walk on water. Yeah, then he began to sink. So fear can be very, very, you know, dangerous. Lose a lot of things there. I've talked about, you know, doubts, you know, so on along with that. And then intellectual or spiritual pride. Yeah, that's a dangerous thing too. And we think we got it all. 1 Corinthians 8:2 talks about if a man thinks that he knows something when he knows nothing yet, you know, you better humble yourself so that God can actually show you stuff. Jeremiah 33:3 says, well, call unto me, I'll show you things that you don't even know yet. It doesn't matter what we know. There's always more that we can learn from the Lord. And the way we can flow and walk in the prophetic more and more is to humble ourselves so that God can show us even more. Otherwise, we'll just be still. And the only thing you know is what you already know. Yeah, but there's more things to be discovered. You know, while I didn't say this in this particular series, I want to say it now. Discovery of the things of God, and I've said this before, is like when you go to like a magic kingdom, Disney World, or, you know, theme park or so on, and you go and you pay the fees and you walk through the turnstile, you're there, you know. But there is a vast expanse of things to yet discover. Just because you enter through the door or the gates or you pay the fee, that doesn't mean you have experienced all the things in the theme park. You have to walk through there and discover it all. And it can take you days sometimes, at least hours, and sometimes days. People can't finish it in one time. They have to come back. Some people pay for multiple day passes. You know, you can't say, well, I walk through the door, I'm there, so I know everything. No, you know nothing yet. You have to discover many more things. Same thing as the things of the kingdom. I should drop that in here now. You know, your born again experience is the portal to the kingdom. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. John 3, talking to Nicodemus, he said these things. So being born again, you know, brings you into the kingdom, but that's only the door. When you're there now, you got to discover so many things. The same is true for walking in the prophetic. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's just the door. You just got through the turnstile. You paid the fee, so to speak, when you went to the theme park. You're there now. Now you got to discover. There's a lot of things to discover. Praise the Lord. And the more we yearn, Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. That's a promise when we are desiring to know the things of God, yea, the deep things of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, I tried to do in about 40 or so minutes what we have been speaking about for 6 or so days. So that's a review and a wrap there. And the bottom line is we need the Spirit of God with us on this journey. He will be the one. He will be our guide. You hear a word in the back of your ear. He said, Isaiah 30:21. He will be with you, guide you. Jesus said that, you know, John 16:13. Show you even things to come, the prophetic. You walk with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, come, walk with me. That's right. You know, walk with me. And they that overcome, he said, they shall walk with me. And they'll be clothed with white. Hallelujah. White raiment. And I'll give them a new name and a name and a stone, a new name written and so forth. I'll make them to even inherit the throne of glory. They will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. Now, all these promises you know, for those who are walking in the Spirit. We equated walking in the prophetic to walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the flesh, we cannot walk in the Spirit. Those two things are separate. They don't go together. So one goes one way, the other goes the other way. And there's an admonition from the Lord to get away from the things of the flesh and purify our hearts, purify our minds. You know, if we have sin in our life, we harbor unforgiveness and all these things, Spirit of God can't really flow through us like that. Having therefore, dearly beloved, these promises, 2 Corinthians 7:1, well, let us cleanse ourselves then from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So that's our review. Put it all together. And I'm going to do a short prayer over the room, and then I will yield the rest of the room for your shares. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for a reminder. You said the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things which I have spoken unto you. What? The things that you have spoken unto us throughout these last many days. We have gone through them very quickly in the last few minutes. Now, I pray that our hearts will be open to the word of the Lord. You know, that, you know, we will, as we have heard this word, it will make an impact in our lives. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. And help us, Lord, every one of us who are born again, have received the Holy Spirit into our lives, you know, to really plunge right in and not just stay on the brink of the river. Go deeper. First, it may be ankle deep, then knee deep, then loin deep, then shoulder deep, and over the head. We'll keep going in. Praise the Lord. For as the waters cover the sea, saith the prophet, so shall the knowledge of the glory of God in our lives be. You can come to the sea and you see the expanse of it. You can take some of the water, but keep coming back. There's plenty more where that came from. So, Father, we thank you for that. We give you, Lord, praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and
amen.
Amen.